You have not, because you ask not. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James 4, 2-3. Let's get real. We're pretty bad at asking for what we need. Think about it. How often do we run around trying to fix our problems on our own, only to end up frustrated, exhausted, and maybe a little hangry? James lays it out for us. You do not have because you do not ask God. And even when you do ask, James is like, yeah, but are you asking with the right motives? Ouch. That's like getting roasted by your favorite Bible verse. Humans are funny creatures, aren't we? We've got this endless list of wants, some of them legit, like food and shelter, some of them a little questionable, like a personal yacht or the ability to eat donuts without consequences. And what do we do? Instead of asking God, we hustle, we plot, we compare, we scroll through social media, see someone's perfect life, and suddenly we're spiraling. James is over here yelling, stop fighting and start praying, but do we listen? Not usually. Here's the thing. James isn't against wanting things. He's just calling out the way we go about it. We work ourselves into the ground trying to control every outcome, and then wonder why we feel so empty. It's like trying to assemble IKEA furniture without reading the instructions. Sure, you could do it your way, but you're probably going to end up with a wobbly table and 3 leftover screws. Now let's talk about prayer. James doesn't just tell us to pray, he tells us to pray right. And no, that doesn't mean using fancy King James English or slipping in a thee and thou for extra points. It means checking your heart. Are you praying for God's wisdom and guidance, or are you just trying to manifest a new car? God isn't your personal Amazon Prime, ready to deliver your latest wish in 2 days or less. He's looking at the why behind your prayer. This is where things get awkward because, let's be honest, we've all prayed some questionable prayers. You know the ones like, God, if you just let me win the lottery, I'll totally donate some of it, probably. Or, Lord, please let my boss call in sick so I can have a stress-free day. James calls these out as praying with the wrong motives. God isn't in the business of granting selfish wishes or helping you one-up your neighbor. Prayer isn't about bending God's will to match yours. It's about aligning your heart with His. Here's a fun question. How often do we completely skip the asking God step? Be honest. We'll vent to our friends, write vague posts on Facebook like, ugh, today has been the worst, and then drown our stress in a Netflix binge. Prayer feels too slow or too uncomfortable, so we try to fix everything ourselves. And when that doesn't work, we treat God like the tech support guy you only call after smashing all the buttons, didn't solve the problem. Well, nothing else worked. Guess I'll pray now. No wonder James is like, you have not because you ask not. But James doesn't stop there. He also warns about envy and comparison, and wow, does that hit home. We're masters of the comparison game. We see someone's vacation photos and suddenly feel like our whole life is boring. Or we hear about a coworker's promotion and think, why not me? James is telling us, stop it. You're wasting your time. Coveting what someone else has isn't just bad for your soul. It's a one-way ticket to frustration. Life isn't about keeping up with the Joneses or one-upping your neighbor. It's about seeking what God has planned for you. And let's not forget about the church. Yep. James is coming for us too. How often do churches fall into the same traps? We pray for growth, but is it about saving souls or just boosting attendance so we look good? Are we trying to outdo the church down the street with bigger buildings and flashier worship bands, or are we truly seeking God's presence? It's easy to slip into selfish motives, even when we're doing holy things. I heard from my wife just yesterday that a pastor we both listened to was talking about going back to the old ways of building a church with brick and mortar. And I was like, what? You've got to be kidding me. Why on earth would you spend 10 times more on a building when you could save a ton using the technology and materials we have in the 21st century? I mean, sure, churches from 200 years ago looked fancy, but let's be honest, if those folks had access to what we have today, they'd drop that brick-and-mortar nonsense faster than you can say HVAC system. Speaking of which, can we talk about the joy of not having to cut down a tree to stay warm in winter? Those old-timey churches were cold, drafty, and about as practical as wearing a corset to a marathon. Look, it doesn't matter if the building is made of bricks, sticks, or a prefab steel frame. What matters is the people inside, the worship, and the mission of the church. The point of a church isn't to look like a medieval castle. It's to serve the community, spread the gospel, and maybe, just maybe, keep the congregation from freezing in February. Let's leave the brick-and-mortar nostalgia where it belongs, in the history books. Here's the good news. God wants to bless us. He's not up in heaven with his arms crossed, waiting for you to beg. But he's also not going to enable selfishness. Think of him like a wise parent. When you ask with the right heart, he's ready to pour out blessings. But when you're just trying to get your way, he's not afraid to say, nope, try again. God knows what's best for you, even when you don't. So what's the takeaway here? Stop hustling, stop comparing, and start asking God for what you need. But don't just throw up a half-hearted prayer and hope for the best. Take a minute to check your motives. Are you asking for something that glorifies God, or are you just chasing your own agenda? James isn't trying to guilt-trip us into praying more. He's showing us that prayer is the key to a better life. A life where our desires are aligned with God's will and where we can trust Him to provide exactly what we need. But here's the thing. It's not just about asking for stuff. It's about understanding why we're asking, who we're asking, and how our requests fit into the bigger picture of God's plan. You have not because you ask not. It's a simple truth, but it changes everything. Think about it. How much energy do we waste worrying, stressing, and trying to control situations we could just bring to God? And yet, we hesitate. Maybe we're afraid God won't answer. Maybe we think our problems are too small. Or maybe we're just stubborn, determined to do it ourselves. Sound familiar? It's like a kid trying to open a jar of pickles. They're straining, grunting, turning red in the face, but they won't ask for help. The parent is standing right there, watching, thinking, I could open that in 2 seconds. But the kid refuses to ask. Isn't that us? God standing by, ready to step in, but we're too busy trying to handle it on our own. James reminds us that when we finally do ask, we need to check our motives. It's not about using prayer as a magic trick to get what we want. It's about seeking God's will above our own. Think about this. If God answered every prayer exactly the way we wanted, how much of a mess would our lives be? Imagine praying for that one person you were sure was the one, only to find out years later they were toxic. Sometimes God's no is actually a blessing in disguise. Let's talk about the wrong motives, James mentions. How often do we pray for things that are all about us? God, help me get that promotion so I can buy a bigger house and make my coworkers jealous. Or, Lord, if you could just give me a new car, I'd totally give someone a ride, eventually. God sees through that. He's not interested in being our cosmic vending machine. He's interested in shaping our hearts. Here's another angle. Prayer isn't just about getting things, it's about growing closer to God. Think of it like this. If you only talk to a friend when you need something, how strong is that friendship? Prayer is an invitation to a relationship. It's a chance to lay your heart before God, to share your joys, fears, and struggles. And yes, it's also a chance to ask for what you need, but always with a spirit of trust and humility. Now let's talk about why people don't pray. Some of us don't ask because we think God doesn't care about our problems. Why would the Creator of the universe care about my car breaking down or my stressful Tuesday? But here's the thing. He does care. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on your head, Matthew 10:30. If he's paying attention to that, he's definitely paying attention to the things that matter to you. Others don't pray because they're afraid of being disappointed. What if God doesn't answer? But here's the truth. God always answers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's not yet, but his answers are always rooted in his love and wisdom. Trusting that is hard, but it's also freeing. Still, some of us don't pray because we think we can handle it ourselves. This is where James's words hit hardest. You have not because you ask not. How many blessings are we missing out on simply because we don't ask? God's not holding out on us. He's waiting for us to invite him into the situation. Now, what about the times when we do pray and nothing seems to happen? That's frustrating, right? But James gives us a clue. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. This doesn't mean God is punishing us. It means he's redirecting us. Sometimes unanswered prayers are his way of protecting us or pointing us toward something better. Think about the Apostle Paul. He prayed 3 times for God to remove a thorn in his flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, 7-9. God didn't take it away, but he gave Paul something even greater, grace and strength to endure. Paul's unanswered prayer became a testimony to God's power. So how do we pray with the right motives? Start by asking yourself, is this about me, or is this about God's glory? Am I seeking something that will help me serve others, grow in faith, or draw closer to God? If the answer is yes, pray boldly. If the answer is no, well, it might be time for a heart check. And let's not forget gratitude. How often do we thank God for the prayers he has answered? It's easy to move on to the next request without stopping to acknowledge his faithfulness. Gratitude keeps us grounded. It reminds us that God is good, even when life is hard. Here's the bottom line. Prayer isn't about changing God's mind. It's about changing us. It's about surrendering our plans and trusting that his plans are better. It's about building a relationship with the one who loves us more than we can imagine. This little sermonette was inspired by Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermon on this topic. I simply shortened it and gave it a modern twist. Even so, the truth hit me hard, and I hope it resonates with you just as deeply. I'll admit, I'm guilty of these things, and I know I've got a lot of work to do. With that said, this is Tim, the Chief of the Nobodies, signing off.